This is James Jones, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for an NFC North title game this upcoming Sunday against the Chicago Bears. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the return of Aaron Rodgers. And to do that, we have joining us on the phone this morning, we have Cheesehead TV founder, also of Bleacher Report, Aaron Nagler. Mr. Nagler, how's your holiday season been?
It's been fantastic. Thanks a lot for having me on, Brian.
Well, thank you for joining us. We got to talk about this guy that seemingly the whole football world has been talking about. Aaron Rodgers is back, and I've seen odds makers have the Packers going from underdog to favorite in this game. Does he really have that much of an impact?
Yeah, you have to think so, especially obviously on the offensive side of the ball. The team obviously is going to rally around him. The thing that I find interesting is last I saw, Packers had become a three-point favorite. And I find it interesting that everyone seems to just have it as a foregone conclusion that he's going to step on the field and hit the ground running like nothing ever happened. And as we all know, that's not always the case. I mean, guys go out with injuries, they're out for a long time, they come back. Very rarely do they, you know, hit the field like nothing ever happened. I think his return is a huge deal. Obviously, he's 30,000 times better than Matt Flynn. He's one of the best players in the NFL. But it's going to be touch and go. And I think, you know, that first hit, that first couple hits, you know, I think everybody associated with the Packers, whether they work for the team or, you know, cheer for the team, are going to be kind of holding their collective breath, just waiting to see what's going to happen the first time he takes kind of Julius Peppers, you know, dragging him down behind the line of scrimmage, hold your breath, oh my God, is he going to get up kind of moment. Get through that, get past that, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, talking about hits here, you know, Aaron Rodgers has been criticized in the past for holding on to the ball too long. Do you think it's going to be a case where Aaron Rodgers is going to be getting rid of the ball rather quickly this week to avoid taking hits?
Yeah, I think that'll be the game plan, obviously. I think, you know, the three-step drop game will be in full effect. I think the leaning on Eddie Lacy game will be in full effect, and James Starks and whoever else they can. But, you know, eventually you're going to get into a third and long. I mean, that's going to happen. It's football. And, you know, Aaron will hold the ball. He wants to make that big play. And for as much grief as he gets for doing it, he still produces lots of big plays because of it. And that's who he is. That's how he plays the game. And I don't think that's going to change. As much as Mike McCarthy may drill into his head, get rid of the ball, find your check down, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I think Aaron's going to play the game as he always has, and you wouldn't want it any other way.
In the grand scheme of things now, how much similarity do you see between the 2010 Packers team that needed to win their final regular season game against the Bears and then went on to a Super Bowl win with Rodgers?
Yeah, a lot of people have kind of been drawing that conclusion, especially since there's so many guys in IR. I mean, there were 16 in 2010, and they're close to that now. You know, I don't know. I don't remember having a feeling one way or the other about the team in 2010 making a Super Bowl run. I remember being very excited about that Week 17 game, being very upset that their offense looked putrid in that game against a Bears team that had nothing to play for. But in that Week 17 game, the defense played well. And I think that's the whole key to this team is, you know, can the defense shore it up enough? And I know there are people who have, you know, chucked in the towel, so to speak, because they say the defense can't get it done. You can't say that's true because we've seen evidence of this before where, you know, you look at the Colts when they made their run, they had the worst rush defense in the NFL. And then lo and behold, they got into the playoffs. They played three of the most amazing games against the run that they'd played all year and probably in a long time, and they got to the Super Bowl. So, You know, do I expect that to happen? You know, I didn't. There's been nothing put on tape that says, yeah, they have the ability to do that. But again, you never know. That's why you play the games. You win this game, you get in the dance, anything can happen.
Actually, there has been things put on tape. They just happened a long time ago now, I think.
Yeah, exactly. They happened in week one against San Francisco. Yeah.
Rodgers might not be the only one back. Randall Cobb has been practicing for a few weeks. What do you think the chances are we see him out there on Sunday?
God, you know, I know we're supposed to get that word today. I would be very surprised. I know, you know, Mike definitely kind of piqued some interest there yesterday when he said that he looked, you know, he felt better about it by the end of the day than he did in the morning. Randall apparently was in pads and looking good. You know, if we've learned anything about Dr. McKenzie, he's going to err on the side of caution. I still say he's a week away, but God, that would be fantastic to get Aaron and Randall up there on the same day. Again, but same kind of deal where you don't know how effective Randall Cobb's going to be coming back, especially since he only started running two and a half weeks ago. But he's, you know, even if it's just a kind of a package deal where he's got a handful, like maybe 10, 12 plays that are designed to get Todd back in the mix, that would be great.
You mentioned how the Packers are going to lean on Eddie Lacy here with Rodgers just coming back. And, you know, Mike McCarthy makes it seem like Eddie Lacy's his chances are good of playing on Sunday. I've seen Eddie Lacy exit three consecutive games now, aggravating this ankle injury. I think the guy needs time to heal. It's just assumed he's playing this week. What's the deal with Eddie Lacy? I think he's going to be at his worst in weeks. Am I wrong to think that?
You know, I would normally agree with that sentiment, but everything I've seen from this kid tells me that he's the type of guy, the type of football player where, you know, he's going to be around, he's going to be walking around in a boot all week, and then Sunday's going to come, and he's going to take that boot off, and he's just going to run, and he's going to be okay. And you can't say it's affected. His ability to break tackles has waned, or his ability to cut. I mean, look at the freaking ridiculous backside cut into a triple spin touchdown that he had against the Steelers. I mean, his athletic ability doesn't seem to be hampered. And you're right. He does keep kind of going down to it, but he keeps bouncing back. And I think McCarthy loves that. I think, you know, he likes having a back that he can count on. But here's the other thing. As much as we can sit here and say, oh, we got to lean on Eddie Lacy, Mike hasn't really fed him that much. If you look at that Steelers game, I was watching it yesterday. I was shocked how many passes were thrown. And I don't think that was all Matt Flynn checking at the line. Like, it was just like, we're going to get in the shotgun, we're going to throw it around the yard. And that's with Matt Flynn at quarterback. I think Aaron's going to be throwing plenty, provided, you know, I don't know what the early weather reports are, but as long as it's not crazy windy on Sunday afternoon in Chicago, I think Aaron will be throwing it plenty.
In keeping with the injured players theme here, the linebacker position is in quite a quandary. Are the Packers in trouble with Matthews out, Brad Jones not practicing this week, and Mike Neal and Nick Perry fighting their way through injuries?
Yeah, well, it's kind of been how they've been doing it, you know, for the last 2 months or so, apparently, you know, where these guys are shuffled in and out. They kind of holding it together with duct tape. I don't know. I want to say, obviously, Clay Matthews being out, is a hit to the defense. You know, he hurt himself on a sack where he was getting pressure on the quarterback. He brought the quarterback down. But at the same time, you know, he was playing basically one-handed. I mean, to see him kind of be able to shed some blocks, but he's kind of been playing contain almost and not really flying around the tackle. And I don't know. In the sense that, yes, Clay Matthews is one of the better linebackers in the league, and you're obviously going to miss him, I don't think the defense misses that much because of Dom's tendency to mix things up so much. It's not like they, you know, do the same, they ask their linebackers to do the same thing on every play. You know, there's a lot of dropping, there's rushing, there's contain, there's force, and all the guys on the team can do that. It's just a question of which ones are healthy enough to kind of combo together and get the job done.
Okay, tell me this, Aaron. Why haven't the Packers made a roster move this week? I assume one of these roster spots is set aside for Randall Cobb after placing Johnny Jolly.
Yeah, right.
But why not bring somebody else in? They got two.
Yeah,
open.
I don't know. I'm looking at their practice squad, and I'm thinking, well, who do they bring up? You know, and don't forget, we've seen this before, where you know, whether it's you know Nick Barnett going on IR and that spot remaining open for weeks. You know what Ted's going to do? Ted's going to. You know, and I learned long ago that trying to get in there and figure out what the heck's going on inside the machine is kind of futile. So, you know, he's got a plan for it. I have no doubt that he has, you know, sat back and weighed the options and said, well, this is what I'm going to do, and he's kept it open for a reason. What that reason is, I have no idea.
Okay, so what are the Packers doing with Clay Matthews? Is there, like, hope he could come back in time for the Super Bowl? Should it come to that, or is he going on IR eventually?
I would think he's on IR. I mean, obviously, it's impossible to say without seeing the medical. And if nothing else, you've seen Thompson do this. You know, he did it with Finley, where he'll keep his options open for as long as he can. But, yeah, I would be shocked if we saw Clay Matthews again this year.
All right, before I let you go, Aaron, my just talking about Sunday's game here, my layman's summation of the Bears is that they have a good offense and a bad defense, but now I want the expert opinion. What type of challenge does this Bears team pose?
Well, that's pretty spot on. now, the X factor, though, is, okay, the last time these two teams met, except for, you know, a handful of snaps at the beginning, two different quarterbacks were playing the game. Yes, the Bears' offense is impressive when it's running at efficiency. It ran at efficiency with Josh McCown at quarterback. Jay Cutler, I don't know, that's a whole other deal because you've got Jay playing against Cleveland and, you know, he threw two interceptions, probably should have thrown a third. On the Hail Mary, they got bailed out on by Alshon Jeffrey. And then he goes against that Eagles game, and things are very hit and miss. Mm-hmm. And now he's going to be playing the Packers, who traditionally, Dom Capers has really kind of had his number. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, it's Mark Trestman's offense, so it's a totally different ballgame there. And he's got those two wide receivers that, you know, he loves to throw to. But, you know, like Charles Woodson so famously said, same old Jay, man, he's going to throw you a couple. And in that regard, the Packers have to take advantage of that. As far as on the flip side, the Packers should bludgeon this team to death with their running game. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, you look at that Eagles tape, you know, that zone read play, that's in the Packers playbook. They should run that all day until the wheels come off because they just do the Bears just have no one up front to stop it. So mm-hmm. it'll be interesting to see if the Packers can just kind of hold the ball, run the ball, have Aaron be efficient with it, they should win this game.
Okay, your prediction, the official one?
They should win. Well, I'm not saying they're going to win because anything can happen. But, yeah, it should be Packers, I would say Packers 28, Bears 17.
Now tell me, would it have been different without Rodgers?
Very much so. Because Rodgers' presence keeps those safeties back. I mean, we've seen Eddie Lacy running against 8-9-man fronts for the last, mm-hmm. you know, 2 months. And now he's going to finally – you were there at the Combine when he was asked about playing with Aaron Rodgers, and he said it would be a dream come true because he'd never see a safety in the box.
Yep.
Well, now that dream's coming back, you know, and now he's got – couple months worth of experience behind him. Rodgers makes a huge difference there. If it's Matt Flynn, it's a totally different ballgame. I think if that's the case, I think the Bears probably win. But I think Rodgers affects the game plan enough that it should be a Packers victory.
Fair enough. Aaron, thank you so much for your time. I wish you a happy new year and happy holidays.
Right back at you, buddy. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Aaron Rodgers, of the founder of Cheesehead TV, along with our own Corey Behnke, and now of BleacherReport.com, joining us on the show. Thanks to Aaron for joining us. Thanks for you, the listener, for joining us as well this morning as we continue to talk about Aaron Rodgers and the Chicago Bears and the upcoming game between the Packers and the Bears, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I mean, the whole football world was focused yesterday on the return of Aaron Rodgers. We had been going through this song and dance for weeks. Will he or won't he play? And then, you know, it's you know, for the past several weeks, it comes down to the 11th hour. It's like Aaron Rodgers is kind of practicing in limited fashion all week, and they're kind of, you know, not declaring him out. You know, throughout the course of practice during the week, and then you kind of wonder, you got this in the back of your mind, wow, the Packers, they're just playing with each opponent, you know, having them practice on a limited basis, and then he's going to play on Sunday and kind of take them by surprise as they tried to prepare for Matt Flynn all week, and then it never happened, or, I mean, you know, Flynn playing happened, and then Aaron Rodgers was never active. And then finally, so this week, you know, the Packers, you know, Mike McCarthy says, like, the day after last Sunday's game, we're going to try to make a decision on Aaron Rodgers sooner than later. You know, after going, you know, every week, taking it down to Friday when they declare him out. And then this week, you know, because of the Christmas holiday, the Packers actually go to work on Tuesday. I don't think they practiced. I don't know what they did on Tuesday. Have meetings, review film. Maybe they went through walkthroughs inside the facility. I don't know. But so they take Christmas off on Wednesday. And you know, it's practically, you know, the decision is hardly being made sooner. I guess it did, because Thursday is one day earlier than the typical Friday that they would declare Aaron Rodgers out. But anyway, so Rodgers, they declare him. He's starting. And you know, it's you know, Packer Nation breathes a sigh of relief. And, you know, it came down to the nitty gritty here the last week of the season with all the marbles on the line. It's been a long time since we've had Railbird Central here. We took off here for the Christmas holiday for over a week. And, you know, I haven't had a chance to discuss this past Pittsburgh Steelers game. And I guess I, you know, it's perhaps maybe something I really don't want to. And but anyway, the Packers now still alive. It's coming down to the last game of the season, and a de facto NFC North title game, championship game. The winner wins the division. The loser is out of the playoffs. The winner hosts a playoff game. Can you believe that? The Packers can host a playoff game with a potential 8-7-1 record. And actually, the difference between winning and losing, I saw, is something like the Packers, if they lose, could have as early as the 12th pick in the NFL draft. And if they win, they're in the playoffs. They'll have no earlier than something like the 21st, 22nd pick, something like that. So quite a bit at stake in this game. The difference between winning and losing is quite a large margin. And of course, you know, once you get into the playoffs, as everybody saw as a Packer fan in 2010, it's a whole different game then. You know, the Packers in that 2010 season, it's the same situation. Everything was at stake. You know, they had to win the last two regular season games, even to have a chance at the playoffs. And then, you know, they get in the playoffs. They're the number six seed. They don't get a home game. They have to go on the road every single game, including the wild card round, meaning they didn't get a bye. Then they got to go on the road, face the number one seed. And I mean, the rest is history. If you're listening to this show, you know what happened that 2010 season. They win the Super Bowl. And now that it's almost set up even better. The Packers can get the four seed. They can host a playoff game. Again, they don't get the bye. They do have to play the wild card round, but still, they get that home game at Lambeau Field. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself here. The Packers do have to win this upcoming Sunday against the Chicago Bears, against Jay Cutler. We talked about with Aaron Nagler here. We summed it up. Good offense, bad defense for the Bears. What else is there to say? I mean, I don't want to sit here and pretend like I watch the Bears every week, but I mean, just from watching the highlights and the little bit I do watch of the Bears here and there, I mean, sat there and watched the Sunday night game last week, of course, where that was a do-or-die situation for the Packers. Had the Bears won that game against the Eagles, the Packers would have been eliminated. But the Eagles just destroy the Bears, and Packers get what they need. And that's where we find ourselves now. And you know, both teams have its flaws. I mean, certainly neither defense in this game is very good. And that's the one thing that gives me pause about the Packers potentially losing this game, is it's just going to be the same thing we've seen for the past, 2 months or so, with this Packers defense, you know, just giving up tons of points, tons of yards, and you know, Aaron Rodgers not being able, or maybe not quite the same player he was his first week back. You know, that's what worries me as a Packer fan and makes me think, oh, the Bears could win this game. But, you know, I'm not actually, you know, going to that length or whatever. But I mean, I guess what gives me hope is that, I mean, this modern day and age in the NFL, the Packers are going to give up points, potentially lots of them. You've seen it league-wide. I mean, it's just the rules of the NFL have set the game up in which everything favors the offense, and you can't hit the quarterback hardly at all. But, you know, and then we see, you know, you hear about the NFL week 15 was the highest scoring week in the history of the NFL, you know, all the points from every team combined. And it was rather odd, because that was the week where there were like snowstorms, major ones, in several cities in the NFL. And you think, how can they put up points in this weather? But it happens. It happens. You know, the Packers are going to give up a lot of points on Sunday. I'm pretty much sure of that. I do think, though, that the Packers can keep pace. You know, it's the Packers offense, you know, even, you know, if they had Matt Flynn in the game, I think they would put up a fair amount of points against this, you know, what is basically a poor Bears defense. You know, I'm not saying they'd score as much as if Aaron Rodgers was in there, but I still think the Packers with Matt Flynn at the helm could move the ball on you know, what is not a very good Bears defense. So my prediction here, the Packers win in kind of a shootout. I think it's going to be like some 35-31, but I am going to call for the Packers to win and get in the playoffs. It just, that's what history tells me. I mean, I go back to 2010 and the Packers had to win on the road against the Bears. They did so in the NFC Championship game. Aaron Nagler mentioned it. Dom Capers seems to have Jay Cutler's number, and maybe they do once again. And you know, I sit here and say that the Packers defense is not good. They're going to get up a lot of points. But, you know, all it takes really is just one big play. And, you know, that's all the Packers could really need. All it's going to take is one strip sack by Mike Neal that all of a sudden changed the momentum of the game. The Packers could get run over the whole game, but one strip sack in a crucial situation mid-fourth quarter that gives the Packers the ball back in you know, enemy territory, that's all it takes. Or a Sam Shields interception, much like we saw against the Dallas Cowboys 2 games ago. I mean, that's all it's going to take to just switch the momentum of the game, kind of be that turning point. So I think this Packers defense has that in them. They can give up a lot of points, but we have seen them come through with those big plays lately, as we saw in that Cowboys game when both Shields and Tremont Williams came up with big interceptions. Tremont Williams almost comes up with two. you know, they're capable of that. You know, Jay Cutler is probably not going to go through an entire game without throwing an interception. So the Packers just have to take advantage. They just have to find the opportunity where Jay Cutler is going to make a mistake or force him into a mistake. Now that's going to be a trouble spot right there, because I don't know where the pressure comes from if it's not being applied by Clay Matthews. Clay Matthews, for all you want to say, coming back from injury is subpar. He hasn't played all that well. Well, you know, if you kind of ask me, I think he's been okay as a pass rusher coming back from injury. And I don't think he was very good in run defense because he couldn't really use that hand all that well. He couldn't shed all that well. But I mean, take a look at what Matthews did in that Cowboys game. He kind of combines with Dayton Jones for that one sack on third down that pushes the Cowboys, or was it second down, that forced a third and long way back, you know, deep in Cowboys territory for one, and that forced a punt. And then later he comes flying off the edge. That was the Sam Shields interception. You know, he forces Tony Romo into a quick throw. The Packers don't win that game if it wasn't for Clay Matthews. And then you saw him against the Pittsburgh Steelers last week. Well, you know, what play does he get injured on? He gets injured on a sack. So I do think you saw Clay Matthews being effective in his pass rush. But now that he's out for the whole game, out for sure, you know, where's it going to come from? I do think, actually, Nick Perry has been very good this season when he's been fully healthy. Even when he's kind of been, you know, kind of half health, he's had, you know, spots where he's shown up well. Boy, it would sure be nice if Nick Perry could just kind of put this ankle and foot injury behind him. There's kind of two different situations there. He kind of broke that bone in his heel for one. And then on top of that, Nick Perry kind of sprained his ankle. And they've kind of been combining to really keep him limited. And he really doesn't play, you know, every down like he should, because I do think if Nick Perry is out there and healthy, he's been really good. And as Travis points out on the live blog, Perry has been playing really well on the right side. Well, now that Clay Matthews is out, it's pretty much a given that Nick Perry's going to be playing almost every down on the right side while you know, Mike Neal would hold down the fort on the left. Those guys are going to have to get after it, whether they're, you know, fully healthy, half healthy, you know, lingering injury issues, whatever. It's going to be up on those two players to really put a pass rush on. And, you know, if it comes down to Andy Malumba, or whether the Packers are blitzing A.J. Hawk and Brad Jones or Jamari Lattimore or who's ever lining up at inside linebacker, it's all quite a, you know, there's quite a burden falling on them to provide that pass rush to force Jay Cutler into a mistake. I think it'll happen. You know, do I think it'll happen more than once? I'm not really confident about that, but the Packers just going to have to take advantage when it does. They can't afford to get a turnover and then not capitalize on it. It would sure be nice if it happened deep in an opponent's territory, but whenever it happens, they've got to take the ball, they've got to turn around and score. Hey, taking it to the house would be really nice on the interception, wouldn't it? We don't even have to worry then about the Packers' offense having to take the ball and potentially bogging down and then just punting right back. Just on the interception that we know is coming from Jay Cutler, just take it to the house. Sam Shields to the house on Sunday. It's going to happen to somebody. That's my prediction. The Packers will cap. I don't know how it's going to happen. They're going to have one big turnover, whether it's a fumble, whether it's interception. But the Packers are going to score, and that'll be the difference in the game. A one-score game, 35-31, high scoring. But the Packers win. They go on to the playoffs, qualify, host a home playoff game at Lambeau Field. And then we're sitting here exactly 1 week from now, 7 days from now, and we're talking about a potential playoff game at Lambeau Field. How nice would that be? It feels good to be back in the saddle here, folks, at Cheesehead TV after taking more than a week off. So glad to be back here. Glad to be joining you. And now we'll get down to some Packers talk again. No matter what happens on Sunday, we'll be back and talking about what happens to the Packers on Sunday in Chicago. So we'll talk more about that then. But that'll do it for today's show. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us on joining me on another episode of Railbird Central. Thanks to Aaron Nagler for joining us on the show as our interview guest. Thanks to Jamie Snowden, our live blog director, for keeping things going, keeping the discussion going on the live blog. I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Appropriately On the Road by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.